Trinity.com.
This morning, if you want to follow along in the Bibles we have here on page 1014, but 1 Peter is the book that we're going to be looking at, actually just a section of scripture there in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. It's going to be verses 3 through 9 and verse 13 as we just talk about hope this morning. And I don't know, in the moment that we had earlier, I don't know what that stirs up for you, and I don't know all of what might be going on in your life around this season, but this is a season that is supposed to be one filled with hope, and it can often be difficult, and hopefully we can maybe take our perspective and turn it towards what God really wants for us to consider and know in this season this morning as we look at these words from 1 Peter. So I'm going to read this through. Feel free to follow along. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 and verse 13. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Verse 13, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As we consider hope this morning, we're going to work through this passage a little bit. And we'll kind of come to maybe a point at the end where we can resonate with it. But Peter and Paul, oftentimes, but Peter, especially here in this particular passage, he says some incredibly deep things in somewhat wordy ways. And that's pretty normal. We see a lot of that in Scripture because some of the most powerful truths are not simple. They can be a little bit complex. So we're going to work through this a little bit this morning. Peter starts out in this section. He says, "Blessed be God." Blessed be God. Why? Because, as it says here, it's because of his great mercy. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. So that's something that we bless God for, his great mercy. God poured out his mercy on us. Right? Mercy is pity and compassion. Now, we don't like to, as people, think about the fact that we need pity or that we need compassion. But God saw us separated from him by our sin. He's perfect. He's holy. And we all fall short of that. And so he saw us in that place of need. And he had mercy on us. He had pity. He had compassion. He sent his son Jesus, right, to be a perfect, sinless sacrifice. Jesus suffered the cross, and he took on the punishment that we deserve, right? That all of that punishment was put on Jesus. And so if we think about it, Jesus took on the cross that he didn't deserve so that we could have forgiveness and mercy, which we didn't deserve. He did that for us. God offered him to us, demonstrating his love for us. God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were sinners, while we were still separated from God, Christ died for us. Wow. And probably the most famous verse in all of Scripture, "God so loved the world that whoever would believe in him, that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but would have eternal life. Those are some pretty incredible truths. And that's the mercy of God that Peter's talking about. So blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. We get this new life when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We're all born physically into this world. We get that. We're all here. But we must be born again spiritually as well. And how will that happen? He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Right, so Jesus died on the cross. We get that. But that wasn't the end of the story, right? He conquered sin when he died on the cross. But he conquered the effects of sin, which is death, when he rose from the grave, when he rose to life on the third day. And so Peter says he has caused us to be born again into a living hope, right? So many things that we tend to put our faith and trust in, so many things that we tend to hope in, are not going to last. Whether it's money and possessions, whether it's people and relationships, they all die. They all come to an end. So if we put our hope in those things, stands to reason, it's a dead end. See what I did there? All right, you catch on later. I know, this is serious, so trying to lighten it a little bit for you. But putting our hope in Christ is not a dead end. Jesus died too, but that wasn't the end of the story. He rose from the grave. So our hope is alive. He is a living hope. And this hope that Peter talks about, important to understand, right? And we see this not just from Peter, but all throughout scriptures when it talks about hope. This is a hope that comes with certainty. Right? It's whenever we talk about hope in Jesus, it's not just a wishful thinking. Like, I hope we get a certain gift for Christmas. Right now, we do, I don't know how many of you do gift exchanges. We do that now with my brother and sisters, and we do it on a couple of different levels on different family groupings, right? So we do this gift exchange. Now, there was a point in time where when we did gifts, we would just exchange names, and that was it. And then you had to figure out what to get the other person. That is frustrating, right? Unless you are one of those real gift giver people, like you're going to find the perfect gift for everybody, and they're not even going to know they needed it, but they're going to love it because you figured it out. But that's hard to do. So eventually, instead of just exchanging names, it was a names with a list, right? You put like three or four different things on that list, and you're thinking, well, these are the things that I want for Christmas. Now, on that list, there's probably one thing you're going, I really hope that's what I get, though. That's what I really want. And maybe even write a little note like, this would be my first choice. Just a subtle hint, right? So that they get what's going on, so that they understand what you really want. But unless we tell them what we wanted, the chances of us getting that perfect gift are pretty slim. So here's a way we can look at this. Even though there's one thing that we really want, it might go a little more like this illustration when it comes to the hope we have in Jesus, okay? Let's say that what I really wanted for Christmas was a George Foreman grill, okay? Now, I don't want a George Foreman grill, so please don't anybody get me a George Foreman grill. That's not on my list. Everybody knows the George Foreman grill, right? So I use it as an example. But let's say that's what I wanted, the George Foreman grill. So we do a name exchange. Put my name on there. And I write one thing on the list, George Foreman grill. I know that it's within the price range, right? It's the one thing on the list. And the other person who gets my name goes, oh, I guess they want a George Foreman grill. Okay, and so I'm pretty confident I'm going to get the George Foreman grill, especially when a couple of days later I get a Snapchat picture or something like that of the person holding the George Foreman grill that they're going to get me. And they say, yeah, I'm going to get you the George Foreman grill. And here's the receipt to show you I've got you the George Foreman grill. This is for you, right? Now, I have to wait for Christmas to get it. But it's a certainty, almost a certainty right here that I'm going to get it. Unless that person is playing a really cruel trick, right? I'm getting you something else, but I'm going to make you think you're getting what you really want. If that's the case, I'm going to be pretty disappointed on Christmas Day. But see, God, he's not joking here. He's not playing a prank when it comes to our hope. Romans 5:5 says, in this hope that we have, it will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The kind of hope that we have in Jesus is a sure thing. Our hope is not going to disappoint. And we see that all throughout scriptures when it talks about hope. This is not a hope we're just wishing for. This is a hope that is certain, that we can take to the bank. So if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are born again to a living hope. But verse 4 then also says this, so we're born again to a living hope, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So not only do we have this living hope, we have an inheritance. An inheritance means we're getting something pretty incredible and amazing, and it's coming our way. Right? We haven't received it yet. Hasn't happened yet. We're still waiting for it, but it's a done deal. Now, inheritance, it's a little different than this, but I want you to think, if you know an inheritance is coming, you might live life a little differently. It's kind of like if you knew that you had won the lottery, right? You won the big Powerball multi-million dollar lottery. You knew that that took place. Now, I'm not advocating gambling, and I know I'll never win the lottery. I never buy a ticket, so not going to happen. But let's just say somehow you won the lottery. And hypothetically speaking, you know, you're going to be set the rest of your life as far as money goes. You don't have anything to worry about. You're going to have more money than you're ever going to need. You're going to have more money than you even know what to do with, and you're going to even be able to figure out how to spend it all. You haven't received it yet, haven't received anything yet, but it is certain that you will. You just aren't sure when. Now imagine that's your situation. Everybody's going, oh. That'd be a good problem, right? But you have a 20-year-old beater car, right? The rust bucket. And it's falling apart. And it barely gets you to work every day. And you're struggling to get back and forth. And one day it conks out. And you're thinking, I don't even know if this thing's going to start again. What would you do? Knowing that you have this lottery money coming, knowing that you're going to be set, but you don't have it yet, what would you do? Would you like be, oh, I think I'll just patch it up, try and limp it along, make sure that it's going to get me from point A to point B? Or would you just spend some money and buy a new one because you know what's coming your way? I can tell you what I would do. I would buy a new car, and it would be a really cool new car. Now, I know that because I know the check is coming, right? Now, some of you are thinking, I wouldn't do that. Like, I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to patch that baby up. It can run for a few more miles. It's all right. Money's not going to change me. Good for you. You liar. No, maybe not. Maybe you would do that. But here's the point. Whether you'd fix up that car or just buy a new one, you certainly aren't going to be worried about if you're going to have transportation. Right? You're not going to live like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get from this point A to point B? Because you know you won the lottery. You know what's waiting for you. I think that's, in many ways, what we're supposed to live like in regards to this inheritance that we have in Jesus. We know it's coming, so we need to live like it's coming now. I'm not saying spend away, blow it. But I am saying, let's live with the perspective that this is something we already have, even though it's not in our possession right now. The inheritance we have isn't quite like winning the lottery, but it is a sure thing, right? It's a sure thing. And second, our inheritance, it's not an earthly one. It's a spiritual one. It's a spiritual thing. So Peter writes, our inheritance is, first of all, imperishable, right? It can't be corrupted. It can't be destroyed. It can't be taken away. You can't lose that. It's imperishable. Our inheritance is undefiled, meaning it's perfect and it's pure. And our inheritance is unfading. It's never going to wear out. It's never going to lose value. It's never going to fade away. And our inheritance, he also says, it's being reserved for us, kept for us in heaven. So even though right now, in this world, we may be going through hell, we know that something else better is waiting for us. When Peter says we have this inheritance, it means we know we have something good coming to us. We may not have received it yet, but we will. That's for certain. Even if everything around us right now looks hopeless, we live like we have hope, because we do. We have a living hope and an inheritance waiting for us. And in the meantime, however, Peter says a few verses later, verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully on Jesus. When he talks about setting our hope fully there, there's two aspects to fully. Fully, first of all, it means completely. Okay? Fully means completely. You are to set it fully in the sense of completely, like set your hope 100% on Jesus. You can't go halfway. You got to go all in. Right? What happens if you're like walking along the road and you see a big puddle in front of you and it's a little sizable and you decide, all right, there's only one way to get across this puddle. I'm going to have to jump it. And so you're like, yep, I'm going to jump it. And you run up to it. But then at the last moment, you hesitate. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. And you're going to be all wet, right? If you're going to jump that puddle, you got to go 100%. Maybe a little more serious illustration. What happens in a marriage when two people aren't fully committed to each other, right? It begins to fall apart. It's like the great fictional character Mr. Miyagi said, Danielson do yes? Okay. Danielson do no? Okay. Danielson do maybe? Squish like grape, right? That's what happens. You've got to go all in. And same thing here with Jesus, right? Set your hope fully, completely, 100% on Jesus. And so that's where we get set your hope full. That's where we need to be hopeful. But fully also means continuously. Okay? Continuously. So it's completely, but it also refers to continuously. So set your hope until the end on Jesus. We can't stop putting our hope in him. We've got to keep going with it. So when we want to give up or give in, set your hope fully, continually on him. Keep hoping in him. In other words, hope on. Hope on. Keep your hope. Set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Both of those ideas are implied here. When things around us are dark, depressing, difficult, falling apart, hope fully and hope on. As we head into this really important season at Portico Church and the holiday season and all that, as I mentioned, it's one that's supposed to be marked by hope. It's supposed to be marked by hope. And so as we think about that, I want to remind us of just two things for ourselves to take from this moving forward. First of all, the first thing is this. You have the hope of Jesus in you. You have the hope of Jesus in you. If you have put your faith and your trust in Christ, he has put his Spirit in you. Jesus is with you. He is in you. You have the hope of Jesus. Remember that. Hang on to that. And here's what Romans 15:13 says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Right? You have the hope of Jesus in you, so you can abound in hope. What is your darkness right now? What is it that you're facing? I mean, is it financial struggles? Well, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound with hope. Is it a relationship struggle? Right. Well, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Is it some sort of spiritual battle, spiritual struggle? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Whatever it is, whatever it is, may the God of hope fill you so that you may abound in hope. So remember, you have the hope of Jesus in you if you put your faith and trust in him. And the second thing that I want us to be reminded of is simply this. You have the hope of Jesus for others. Okay, you have the hope of Jesus for others. You have it in you, and it's for you, but you have the hope of Jesus also for others. There are people around us who don't yet know the hope that we have in Jesus, and we need to share it with them. We're called to share it with them. That's the idea that Peter writes when he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. What kind of action? Well, about sharing that hope. Sharing that hope. 1 Peter 3:15, a little bit later on in this book, he writes, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, or Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. There's a hope that's in you. Be prepared to share that. Be prepared to share that. So I just ask you once again and remind you once again this morning, who are the people you are reaching out to with the hope of Jesus? Who are the people you're reaching out to with the hope of Jesus? Who are you going out of your way to spend some time with in the next few weeks so you can somehow share the love of Jesus with them, whether in word or in action? Who are you engaged with in spiritual conversation? Who are you engaged with maybe really practically in inviting them to join you for Christmas Eve, inviting them to join you for a Christmas celebration next weekend. Some very practical ways that we can reach out and share the hope of Jesus with people. You have the hope of Jesus in you, but you also have the hope of Jesus for others. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back, because there are people who need to experience the same hope that we have. And as we close, we're gonna enter into we're gonna sing one more song of worship. Actually, the team could come on up. But as we close, I think this. You know, we have the hope of Jesus in us, and it gets really difficult for us sometimes, right? It gets really dark for us sometimes, and we have the hope of Jesus. Imagine what it's like to go through the difficulties that maybe you're facing without that hope, right? So let's be willing to extend the love of Christ to the people around us and do what we can to do that. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to worship with that song, Dance Again. And it's interesting because we picked it because of the occasion. Bob has been thinking of playing it for a while, but I also like that there are really two aspects to this. There's that need for hope in ourselves. The hope of Jesus is in you. But there's also that need for sharing it with others, taking it to those around us, even the words to our neighbors, right? We take the hope of Jesus. So let's pray, and then we'll worship together. Heavenly Father, We are grateful, first of all, that you give us an incredible hope. Like Peter wrote, blessed are you. Because of your great mercy, you've given us this living hope, this inheritance that we have, and it's all because of our faith in Jesus. We're so grateful. We have something that we can look forward to, that we can cling to in darkness. We have true hope, hope that's not wishful thinking, hope that is certain. We're so grateful you have given that to us because we need it so badly. And as much as we need that, we know the world around us needs it as well. So even in times of difficulty or darkness, help us to extend that hope to those who do not know the love of Jesus, who are without him in their life right now. Give us the strength to do that, whether it's a conversation we need to have, some time we need to spend, an act toward them that we need to do, an invitation we need to give. Help us to share their reason for the hope that we have, which is you. We are so grateful. And God, even if our difficulties are seemingly overwhelming right now, we pray that you would allow us, that you would just stir up that hope within us. And like this song says, that we would go from a place of difficulty to the place where we can dance once again. And so we praise you. We lift our voices to you in worship. We do all of this in the name of Jesus who died on the cross for us. We are so grateful. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.